And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Rose.
What up, dope?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together we're Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
Give the people what they want.
Jalen, it's so good to have you back. Did the people ever get what they wanted last night in that game between the number one and number two best teams in the West? An overtime thriller. LeBron James had a chance to win it at the end of regulation, did not. But pregame, you know he was getting warmed up when they're doing the football thing. Always makes me happy to see him doing that. And LeBron James was just cooking all night. Great passes, a lot of buckets. He ended up finishing with 32 12 and 14. But Jalen, I was thinking about you while I was watching this. They were relying on LeBron James a lot, not just to play make, but to be on the floor. He ended up playing 41 minutes. You say they rely on him too much. You think that was the case last night in the big win in Denver?
And by the way, relying on a superstar Mount Rushmore level player at 35 years old that's still giving you over 25 and leading the league in assists, that's a great problem to have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you want to send a message to the Denver Nuggets. And Anthony Davis played really well also. Caruso came in and contributed off the bench. But his usage is so very high, Jacoby. It just makes me wonder when they go up against a team, in particular the Clippers, and you know this, you can shorten the floor. So you see how many times that LeBron James gets to go coast to coast, or he gets to dribble from the top of the key to the other paint without basically being picked up. When he plays against the Clippers, they got multiple people that's going to pick him up, make him work to get the ball across half court. So I just think that developing Caruso like it seems like they're doing to be another primary ball handler is how they're trying to supplement some of LeBron's minutes. And Rondo gave him some good minutes against Phoenix the other night because they know as the season progresses, you're just going to need more ball handlers.
And, you know, I was watching this game last night. When LeBron James is not in the game, they seem to struggle a little bit just to get the offense going and to get the passes as crisp and to make plays for each other. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but, like, they do kind of need, like, a Dion Waiters or Jamal Crawford just to sort of, like, someone they can give the ball to with 6 seconds left with that second team is out there just to get it done. Because AD is, at this point, in how he's used on this team is more of, like, a finisher than he is a playmaker. But, Jalen, here's my question for you. And you brought the Clippers because I feel like the Clippers are the biggest threat to the Lakers in the Western Conference. Do you think that the Lakers have solidified themselves at the All-Star break as the team to beat in the West?
Well, it's great that they're going to have the number one overall seed. I think teams 3 through 7 in the West are a lot closer and a lot tougher than it will be to play against the eighth seed this year. And shout to all the teams that are going to vie for it, whether it's the Pelicans, whether it's Memphis. But now all of a sudden, you solidify that if you're the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
But having a number one seed won't necessarily mean as much against the Clippers because they play in the same building. That's what makes that situation a lot different and a lot more unique. But what it does allow you to do is rest LeBron James later in the season. The Bucks don't have the number one overall best record. So once you get a stranglehold on the number one seed, that gives you an opportunity to rest your 35-year-old playmaker.
And like you always say, like, I want to enjoy the regular season. There's still a lot of jockeying to happen, especially in the Western Conference in terms of positioning. But I do like where you're going with that. If they do have a 4-5 game lead over whoever's in that second spot, you will see LeBron James' minutes go down and you will see him rest up to be fresh for the playoffs. For all the people wondering about his usage and how many minutes he's playing right now, I think that could change if they really do have a nice lead for the number one seed because there's no chance they're going to catch the Bucks. I was watching this game thinking about the other side of the ball, the Nuggets, and I'm watching Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray recently has been playing really well. In February, he's averaging 29 points per game. And I was watching this and thinking about all the duos around the league. And the Nuggets really need Jamal Murray to establish himself as a duo to go along with Jokic. They really need Murray to step up and be that all-star, sort of like not second banana, but equal banana to Jokic. And they've gotten that lately. How important is Murray's success for the future of this franchise in this season?
Extremely important, and just think of it as a pie or a pizza, especially Jacoby's an expert.
I like pizza. Yeah, pizza.
A professional at ordering
pizza.
He always advises to get it well done. always advised to get it well done.
Gotta get it well done.
That's any team that's hoping to be a contender. That's the same question we're going to ask about the Bucks when the playoffs start.
Exactly. Exactly.
Is it going to be Middleton? Is it going to be Bledsoe? For the Utah Jazz, is it going to be Gobert? Is it going to be Bogdanovich? Like, you could go down the list of teams and wonder who's going to be their second and third best player. So with that pie, you usually hope it's the players that you invest the most in. So, of course, mm-hmm. you're going to take care of the Joker. He's your perennial all-NBA player. But as you alluded to, they made that guy be Jamal Murray. They took care of him this offseason. And another player they hoped it to be is Gary Harris. Now, he gives you defense, but he really struggling to shoot the ball. They're going to need both of those guys if the Nuggets are going to make some noise and be a legit contender.
Well, one team that absolutely does have an established duo, my favorite duo in the National Basketball Association, the Dallas Mavericks. And that duo has been reunited last night as Luka Doncic returned to the floor after an ankle injury, and he didn't miss a beat. Luka Doncic, in his first game back from an injury, put up 33 points, 12 rebounds, and 8 assists, 10 of 18 from the floor, and almost more important was this, KP, 27 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks. This duo seems to really be clicking, which is exactly what KP said after the game. Do you think that these two have hit their stride?
I think they are hitting their stride, but I have to ask a question to my Dieezy Knicks fan.
I know what you're going to ask. I know what you're going to ask, and you know what I'm going to answer. So just go ahead. Just go ahead. I know what you're going to do. Go ahead.
So Kristaps Porzingis leaves your Knicks, where you were able to take Quincy to the game and watch a 7'3" unicorn make threes, and you weren't happy that he didn't want to be a Knick anymore. Mm-mm. He struggled this year because he's coming off an injury. It's a new circumstance. He goes from being the first best player to the second best player. But now he's getting healthy. He's getting confident, especially when Luka's out. And now they're both playing well together. But Porzingis only played well the last maybe 2 or 3 weeks. Why and when did the Dallas duo become your favorite?
Because I watched the games and I said, you know what? It's the only duo that looks like me. That's the only duo that looks like me out there. You know the answer. That's why you asked the question. And you know what? Sometimes you got to give the Jalen what he wants.
Give the
you
people know, what
the
they want.
Around here. So, but here's, I do have concerns about KP. I mean, he went 2 for 5 from 3 last night, 40%. That's always great. But I was looking him up and just looking, you know, sometimes I dig around Basketball Reference and get into the numbers. He's shooting 6.6. 3-point attempts a game. Again, 6.6 threes again a game. That's way too many for me. What do you think about that number from KP this year?
Well, he's a really good shooter, so it depends on how many he's going to take per game. I don't want 50% of his shots to be from 3-point range just mm-hmm. because he's an athletic player and he's, as I mentioned, really tall. But you and I watch a ton of NBA League Pass. And when we're watching the Dallas Mavs play, what do I always say I want to see Porzingis do to take his game to the next level?
Listen, just needs to finish around the hoop and be strong and get post up a couple times. He needs a little bit more in B, like mix it up from inside and outside. But one thing I do want to say, it's not just numbers. Me and you do watch a lot of Mavs League Pass, and a lot of those threes are wide open threes that Luka Doncic creates for him. Like, not every three is equal. So he does shoot a lot, but a lot of those are just wide open looks where the defense is about 5-6 feet away.
And also, a lot of this is scheme and system. Rick Carlisle believes that that's the worst percentage offensive play, a direct post up. Mm-hmm. But it's working for Zion. He ain't got no problems bullying his way into the lane.
No problems. It's working for Embiid too. So the Mavs had a big win against Sacramento, and Sacramento's a nice team for Luka to come back on because not exactly contending this year. But there's a lot of drama in Sacramento. Some whispers and rumors around the internet about Buddy Hield being upset about his role. And then we have, you know, their owner, Vivek Ranadive, and he's a little upset about the front office and the way things are going. And then we have this. Harrison Barnes, and this one's going to really hit home for you, Jalen. Harrison Barnes says that he's not going to shave or cut his hair until they get back to 500. Who knows what this man's going to look like by the end of the season? What do you think about all this drama and lack of reaching expectations in Sacramento?
So, Harrison Barnes always behaves like a professional and a vet. Had some really good years. We know what the Golden State Warriors ended up with, the Mavs, played well. And obviously at that point, when you've been around the game for so long, you're going to go where they're going to give you the bread. So that's kind of how he ends up in Sacramento at this point of his career. And when you look at the landscape of their roster, and if you were going to say, who's their best player? I would say that that should be De'Aaron Fox. And then when you look at the players that they've picked in the draft, you hope that Bagley becomes a terrific player. And then Buddy Hill shows you some promise shooting from three. And his contract is up. You got to give him his $90 million or you don't want to lose him for anything. So Bogdanović plays in spurts, and I really like his talent.
I love Bogdanović. You know that's my guy, Bogdanović. But I'll say one thing about being upset when you're the owner. When you watch Luka Doncic do what he did, and you're looking at Vlade Divac being like, oh, you picked Bagley because you thought he would compliment De'Aaron Fox, and we don't have him in our uniform? I would probably be upset too. Jalen, sometimes there are videos in the world of sports and pop culture that need to be broken down in deep, deep detail. We have one of those, so you and I are going to go to the table. Jalen, you are the greatest NBA analyst walking this planet. But you know, I am the best pickup rec league basketball analyst walking the planet. And we have a video from my side of the aisle.
Yes.
What I like to see.
Yes.
Now let's check in on this pickup game. Look at my man right here. Look at this athlete. Cross in front. Spin move. Step back. Bong. Right on you. Jalen Rose, is there any way you can guard this guy? I mean, we thought Zion was a freak athlete. This is Zion. This is Zion 2.0 right here.
I like big fella showing his versatility. That's nice and nimble with the feet. Nice spin move.
How
on balance.
That?
Great follow through.
How do you
and
guard that?
And he understood the audience. He felt the crowd. He fed into it.
Yes,
he knew he had him on skate.
He's a showman.
He's looking like Vince Wilfork out there. He turned around and hit the jumper.
Unguardable. Give him a G League. Give him a 10-day. Give him a two-way. Give him something. He's unguardable. The space that he can create. The space that he can create with that body type. Unstoppable. Unstoppable. God, I love that guy. But someone hit me up on Twitter. I want that guy to hit me up on Twitter. I got a spot in my rec league for him. Jalen Rose. This is going to be a pivotal offseason for many quarterbacks around the league. Of course, people are talking about Phillip Rivers and Tom Brady. But one of those quarterbacks people don't talk about as much is Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston had a very interesting year this year with over 30 touchdowns and also over 30 interceptions. But he's doing something this offseason that I find really interesting, especially from someone who has worked in sports media as long as I have. The new report is that he's getting LASIK eye surgery. Now, Jalen, my question for you is, how much of this and the publicizing of this is a way to tell future employers, a way to tell fans, a way to tell the media that, you know what, I'll be better, I'll be back, I will be able to see better next season?
Well, the people that work in the game and they write these checks and make these decisions, they're not going to be swayed by the fact that that he got LASIK surgery. Okay,
nope.
That's not gonna all
that's
of a
not gonna
sudden
add a zero to the contract.
Give them a blank check. No,
you don't think that
that's
adds
not
a zero to
work.
The contract? Okay.
Now, for those who intimately watch football like we do, Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays, regardless of his eyes, he throw the football to the wrong team consistently.
He does a lot.
Now,
he does a lot.
Now he does have some great traits. Actually, led the league in passing, throws a really good deep ball. He did have over 30 touchdowns, but his decision making to me, not necessarily his eyes, has been his overall issue.
Well, there's some interesting footage that's been unearthed of him sort of on the sidelines, kind of squinting at the scoreboard and just kind of like straining to see things in ways that seem a little unnatural to someone with this great 2020 vision like I do. But there's someone else in my life who does a lot of that too. It's a gentleman by the name of Jalen Anthony Rose. You hand him your phone, and he's got to hold it far away from him and do all this stuff. And it got me thinking, Jalen, I know you wear a lot of glasses, but none of them are prescription. So my question for you is it time for you to start considering taking the Jameis Winston path and getting LASIK eye surgery? Is it time to come to the LASIK eye surgery dark side?
So at 47, these are like important decisions that I'm starting to make. In my midlife crisis, Because I agree with you. I have to do something. So what I told myself I was going to do is wear glasses, even if they weren't prescription, for like 30 or 60 straight days. And see if I could just get used to doing it every day.
What?
And not tired what? Of doing it. And what? Then I'll decide if I'll get glasses that are prescription or I'm going to get LASIK. But I'm trying to avoid getting any surgeries at all costs.
I love you so much because sometimes while we're doing this show, you say things that are so insightful and intelligent, like the way that LeBron James is going to rest at the end of the season because they have the number one seed. And then you say things that are so idiotic and nonsensical, like you're going to wear glasses without a prescription for 60 days just to see how it feels and if you can do it before you consider getting prescription glasses. You are one of a kind, Jalen Rose, and that's not always a good thing. I have something that you'll be really interested in, though. I have Detroit Lions news. You want to hear about it? Well, there was a story yesterday that the Lions perhaps were interested in trading quarterback Matthew Stafford. Now, immediately the Lions themselves came out and said this is 100% false. This is not the case. However, reacting to that story, Matt Stafford's wife, Kelly Stafford, did what people do in 2020, went on the gram, opened up the stories, and then said, well, if Detroit is done with us, and then followed that up with, I could stay in Cali. Shrug emoji. Jalen, I don't want to discuss the validity of the reports and the denials. What I do want to discuss with you is someone who always says this, who always said in the salary cap league, if you overpay your quarterback, it's very difficult to fill that quarterback roster with players that can get you to a championship. I want you to think long and hard and be honest with yourself. Should the Lions trade Matt Stafford? The answer is yes.
Matthew Stafford got elite arm talent, and he's definitely a difference maker for our team. And he's going to go down as the greatest quarterback in the history of the franchise. And that's saying a ton for a guy that's been there over a decade and hasn't won a playoff game about the history of our quarterback position.
It says a ton about the franchise, not so much the man. But
right.
Yeah.
It says a ton about the history of the quarterback position with the Lions. So. Mm-hmm. If he or they feel like his time has expired because there may be some overtures that he may get moved, I would understand that he feels like I paid my debt to Detroit and the Lions and I want to leave. But I would caution against necessarily doing that because I want us to get Tua. That's
yes.
I think we're going to be looking back at this conversation in X amount of years. And all of the teams that pass on Tua are going to make a big mistake. And I'm just...
Great point.
It's going to pain me that my team is possibly going to be one of those teams that pass up on him. And so I really like Matt Stafford, but he makes a lot of bread. He makes a lot of bread. So maybe they can send him to L.A. and run with the Chargers. We get a rental quarterback for a year, and then we bring in Tua the year after. That's what I would do.
I love the idea of Tua to Detroit. I really do. And I honestly think that if you bring Tua to Detroit, it's almost a shoo-in that he will eclipse Matt Stafford as the greatest quarterback the Detroit Lions have ever had. I'm telling you. It's like almost a guarantee. And if, you know what? And I'm not saying they should go out and trade Matt Stafford. I think if you can find a team dumb enough to take on that contract with his health issues, then you should trade him. But that's going to be difficult to find a trade partner that's going to give you the fair return for Matt Stafford. But you know what? That doesn't mean you can't draft Tua. That doesn't mean Tua can't learn from Matt Stafford. That doesn't mean that those two can't share the same uniform and Tua hold a clipboard for a year. And people act like just because you drafted a quarterback, that quarterback needs to start immediately. And there's a lot of examples of players that have done, just kind of sat the bench for a year, like Patrick Mahomes, and then became an MVP quarterback the following year. Jalen, from your favorite football team.
If this was around the horn, I just would have been giving you points and points and points.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Tony. From your favorite football team to one of your 25 former NBA teams, the Pacers were playing against the Giannis-less Bucks last night, and they needed this win, and they got this win over the Bucks. But what I want to point out is the play of a gentleman by the name of TJ Warren. Not a household name in the National Basketball Association, but he has been getting buckets for the Pacers this year. And even with Oladipo on the floor, Warren performed really well. They needed this win, and they got it. What do you think about the Pacers and TJ Warren as they get to the other side of the All-Star break?
He always got buckets. And the great thing is when you have those guys that play that wing spot, they can get their own shot off the dribble, mid-range in particular. He's consistently going to be able to pull up points for the Indiana Pacers, depending on the shot attempts that he takes. But they're one of the teams that I continue to stress to everybody. Not many squads have an identity. Nate McMillan has put his stamp on that squad. They're going to play hard. They're going to play together. And they're going to play insulated and within themselves. There's no guy that seems like he's separating from the pack other than how they play. And we know Victor Oladipo is their all-NBA performer. And he's just returning slow from injury. But look at the depth that they built out. They had six or seven players scoring double figures in that game. So that's an impressive win versus the Giannis-less Bucks.
And they needed it so bad because they, that six game road, that six game loss streak looked really bad. You could be headed to the big game or on an epic road trip. No matter where your travels take you, Marathon can help you get there with quality top tier gas. Marathon gasolines are different. They're formulated with STP additives that keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and by reducing emissions. And guess what? Right now, you can get 5 cents off every gallon. Again, 5 cents off every gallon every single day with the Make It Count Rewards program from Marathon. And not only that, you earn points towards additional savings, not just on fuel, but on airfare, hotels, and much more. This is the best way to buy gas, and it's easy to join. Just download the free Make It Count app or go to makeitcount.com/radio. So join the Marathon team and start saving today. This offer is valid only at participating Marathon stations. Remember, wherever your journey goes, it pays to start at Marathon. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. Jalen. The Grizzlies beat the Blazers last night in a battle of two teams. They're looking like they might even fight it out for the eighth spot in the Western Conference. Ja Morant, that man right there, and Dame Lillard, that man right there, went tete-a-tete in a fascinating battle. Morant had 20. Brandon Clark, unsung hero, had 27 off the bench. Jalen, I'm watching this game, and I've been listening to you all season long talk about how the Blazers are going to make the playoffs, and maybe the Thunder are going to slip out, or the Grizzlies will slip out. You're wrong about that. There's now four games between the Grizzlies and the Blazers. There's another four games between the Grizzlies and the Thunder. That's eight games between the Blazers and the Thunder. And I'm looking at the math. And people think that the All-Star break's halfway through the season. It is not. And I came to a determination last night. The Blazers are not going to make the playoffs. You've been saying it all year. Are you ready to finally admit that you were wrong and that the Blazers are not going to make the playoffs?
You're correct. And the reason why I want to make sure that gets modified has nothing to do actually with the Blazers. It has everything to do with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Nobody saw that coming. Okay. Chris Paul is going to be an all-star in the Western Conference playing for that squad. We looked at that as a throwaway with the Houston Rockets, that trade. And all of a sudden the assets that they gained, plus they're going to be a playoff team. They're basically performing like the Clippers did last year, this year in the Western Conference. Now, for the eighth spot, that will belong to the Memphis Grizzlies. And I know that the Mavs are your dynamic duo that you're adopting.
Whoa.
You're not surprised that the squad that I'm adopting, kind of like the Ravens in football, is Memphis. You know how much I love Ja and Jared Jackson. Brandon Clark, that's
Brandon
another
Clark.
Young player.
He looked great last night.
They're building something special. They locked up Brooks.
Brooks coming together? They look good. They look
so
really
good.
So
you're right. You're right. And it's because the Oklahoma City Thunder came and snatched Portland's spot.
And I also
and
want
Memphis
to say something
outplayed
about Portland.
Expectations.
People always look at Portland. They say, oh, do we need to break up the backcourt? Do we need to break up the backcourt? The problem with Portland is that nothing to do with their current roster. It has everything to do with health. I think that Nurkic and Collins going out really left a big void for them that you just can't fill in today's NBA at the trade deadline. Well, during the game, Dame Lillard went down with a groin strain, which means he might miss some games on the other side of the All-Star break, but he's definitely going to miss the three-point contest and the All-Star game. But we have some news, Jalen Rose. Dame Lillard, that was the play. He's going to be replaced on the All-Star Team LeBron by Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns. Jalen, do you think that Booker is the correct replacement for Lillard on the All-Star team?
Well, it's tricky to call it Team LeBron, even though he and Giannis were the highest vote getters, when he didn't select this player. Just think about that. Why are we watching them do a draft, and then when somebody get hurt, they don't even select a replacement? First and foremost, that's a glitch in the matrix. You can't be mad at Booker for getting the nod because his numbers are just crazy offensively, yep. And we know what he can do. But if all things equal, I would have had to reward winning and give the spot to Ja Morant because Memphis has been outstanding this year. And you introduce the world to somebody that most basketball aficionados don't even know. I asked you to get off work and walk down the hall where people get paid to talk about sports. And ask them what question, Jacoby. What did I tell you to ask your
coworkers? Who is the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies? And it's my guy, Coach Jenkins, who is a white guy named Jenkins. Something else that I really love about him, too. So, Jalen, I'm excited for both Devin Booker and Ja Morant, not because he's in the All-Star game, but because of the success of the Grizzlies. And it looks like they're going to make the playoffs, at least both Jalen and I think so. But a team is definitely going to make the playoffs, the Toronto Raptors. They had a 15-game winning streak heading into Brooklyn to face the Nets, and they lost. It was a very balanced attack from the Nets. A lot of guys in double figures that took down this Raptors team, again, on a 15-game winning streak. So I looked at the schedule. They played Monday in Toronto and then Wednesday night in Brooklyn. And you're an NBA veteran. You played in the NBA for like 17 years. You know what I'm thinking. You know exactly what I'm thinking. So if you play on Monday and then again on Wednesday in Brooklyn, where do you think you stay on Tuesday night?
So David Jacoby, we talk about champagne and campaigning for almost a decade on this program. Mm-hmm. And when I talk to you about the iconic places to do that at as a professional athlete, where are two of the places I always make sure get mentioned?
Atlanta and New York City.
Correct. So now all of a sudden you throw Toronto in there, another place that I played. It's a short flight and I saw the Raptors, and rightfully so, headed into All-Star break. They've been living their best life. Serge bought everybody scarves. They enjoying one another as they should. Nick Nurse is coach of the year. But those New York City streets are undefeated. And you know, yep, you got to take a nap before you go out in New York. So props to the Nets. That was a scheduling loss.
Well, maybe perhaps on Tuesday night they're in New York and scarve down some drinks. Sorry, I had to. I apologize. It's a dad joke. I had to. I apologize to myself and my family, everyone that works on the show. I had to do it. I couldn't help myself. Let's move on before I start crying. We've got some Tom Brady rumors, Jalen Rose. First, we had former Patriot tight end Christian Fauria. He has a radio show, and he said that the Patriots were 100% done with Tom Brady. Guess what? Patriots fans freaked out and got sad. Then we had Julian Edelman put up a post on Instagram to which Tom Brady commented, let me get the quote right, quote, get back to the East Coast so we can throw, end quote. Then Patriots fans freaked out and got excited because perhaps they were going to play together once again. Jalen, I want to put yourself into the mind and soul of a Patriot fan. I know it's hard for you because they're a successful football franchise and you're a Lions fan. But if you put yourself there, how would you be feeling about this back and forth and the rumors and the reports about Tom Brady potentially leaving the team after being there so long?
What you just did there is the funniest dynamic I live as an athlete that now covers the game, how sometimes fans take the team that they root for, like the Patriots or the Yankees, and equate that to their personal life success.
Okay.
Right? Like, the Yankees got 27 championships, and since you root for them, that means that you're great and you're a champion in life, and I stink. You know what I'm saying? And I'm a scrub. It's because you root for the Lakers or the Celtics, right? Got it.
100% how it works.
Okay, so for Tom Brady, in my opinion, the grass is not always greener. And we know everything that he's accomplished with the New England Patriots, but I want to go deeper in the box score about something. We keep talking about the Patriots' lack of weapons, and of course, you're not going to be able to replace Gronk. But the last couple of years, the Patriots took a running back in the first round, Sony Michel, and they took a wide receiver last year in the first round in Harry. So is it because those guys ain't as good as anticipated? Or they haven't developed as fast as the system thought would allow them to? And so that's what it seems like we keep saying that they need to do for Tom Brady, because they had the worst wide receiver production in basically a very long time, if not at a point where he was one of the best quarterbacks in the game. We saw Absolutely. What happened with AB. We saw what happened with Josh Gordon. Those things take place. But if he's also not going to decide to leave, say he stays, is he going to be doing offseason workout with these young guys? Because last year, he wasn't working out with the team like he was normally earlier in his career. And that also has an effect. But I don't think he should leave. Do not leave the Patriots, in my opinion, Tom Brady.
I think Tom Brady should definitely leave. Do you know why I think that? It's good for our business. Good for our business. Good for the media. It gives us more to talk about. That's why I think he should leave. I love drama and I love controversy. And there is some more important Tom Brady controversy. Jalen, one thing about Tom Brady that's so associated with him and his brand is his health. And he doesn't eat strawberries. And he doesn't eat ice cream. He eats avocado ice cream. And he doesn't eat processed sugars. Well, there was a very interesting Instagram post from his wife, Gisele Bündchen, supermodel. You may have heard of her. And in this post, you see she's eating cake. And she's picking up the person that made the cake. The son is eating the cake. She's eating the cake. The internet is concerned that Tom Brady is faking the cake. That fork is too clean to have once had cake on it. Jalen, do you think that is fake cake consumption from former Michigan quarterback Tom Brady?
And you know Tom Brady is my guy. A lot of people don't know. I go deep into the R guys. He actually got me in an Uggs commercial. That is my guy. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is a soft move.
He faked the cake?
Yeah, he faked the cake.
You think he faked the cake?
Yeah, he faked the cake.
Well, guess what? Jalen, you know that I don't prepare that hard for these topics, but I had to do some intensive research for this one because this is important journalism. I did a little zoom in on his mouth, and if you look very closely, it does look like there's a cake crumb on the left side of his lip. Jalen Rose, do you think that is a cake crumb and that the internet is wrong and that he did actually have a bite of cake?
I don't know. I love that graphic so very much. It's hilarious. Y'all, hey, imagine if y'all did that every time I got a bump on my face, the whole screen would be covered. Okay. Put it right here, man. Put those arrows right here.
But also, people are talking about whether or not he ate the cake, but there's another part of this photo that I want to show you. Tommy, can you go back to the original, please? Because this is another thing that it should be more controversial as to whether or not Tom Brady actually ate
his
the
milk
fake
lip?
Cake. Who eats ice cream cake with their hands like that? Like, what are you doing? You obviously have utensils. Tom's got one. Why are we eating cake with our hands? Come on, y'all. I know y'all rich. I'm sure you got expensive forks.
So Please. This is a controversial topic that we got to talk to the people about.
What's up?
And I think you just crossed the line of cultural or regional. I think you just did.
No, there's no culture in which they eat cake with their hands. Maybe Indian culture? I'm trying to think of in Indian culture, they don't really use utensils. So maybe that. But no. There are no people in domestic United States that eat with their hands. Jalen Rose. You can talk about whatever you want in this segment because it is time for Keep It Moving. If you want to discuss the topics, say hit the brakes. If not, me, you, and Method Man jump in the minivan and keep it moving. Are you ready, Mr. Rose?
Oh, that's just so cold. We such tastemakers in the industry. Let's get it.
Jalen, Bobby Portis was ejected, and I think he shouldn't have been. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
I don't believe he should have been ejected, so we're going to keep it moving on Knicks news for now.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Not a lot of Knicks news. Paul George made some money with a side hustle that
Hit
you might
the
be
brakes.
Interested in. Okay. Jalen Rose, I've seen you bowl many times. You are a finesse bowler. You bowl very slowly but efficiently. Paul George and his Clipper teammates, they went out, they hit the lanes, and looks like there's a lot of money on the floor riding on this roll. A lot of money on the floor. A lot of it. I mean, I'm looking at about $1,000, $1,200 right there. That's Paul George in the glowing sneakers. And look at this. I mean, you can tell he's a bowler because he rocks the curve. If you're rocking the curve, that means you joined a league at some point. Look at Paul George with the curve. Gets the strike, picks up all the money. My question for you on this one, Jalen Rose, do NBA players bet on everything?
Yes! I've been telling you this for 10 years. On anything. On anything. You've seen LeBron James sit on the end of a bench and flip a bottle to try to see if they can make it land. Like, bet on anything. But here's what I have to say. We talked about vision earlier. Is it me or I couldn't even see the ball as it was going down the lane?
So they had like the iPhone 6. Whoever filmed that, they need the iPhone 11. You know what I mean? They need to upgrade. Which one of his teammates has that phone? Because they need to upgrade and get the dark mode and the multiple lenses on the iPhone 11. Moving on. Tristan Thompson is out here doing something I'm pretty confident he's never done before in an NBA game.
Well, he hit a couple of three-point shots, but we're going to limit the Cavs' moves. Kevin Porter Jr. been balling, a shot to Colin Sexton being able to play in the Rising Stars game. Keep it moving.
Okay, keep moving.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Big news in the WNBA. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Skylar Diggins-Smith was traded to the Phoenix Mercury for 3 first-round picks, but this creates not a duo, but a trio in the WNBA. You've got my favorite WNBA player of all time, Diana Taurasi. You've got Brittany Griner, one of the most dominant down-low players in the history of the game, and Skylar Diggins-Smith all on the same team. I'm not saying they're going to win a championship, but I am saying they're going to be the most fun team to watch.
You are saying that they got a big three. And shout to friend of the show, our people, Skylar Diggins, not only getting traded to go run with them, but for 3 first-round picks.
3 first-round picks? That's a lot.
That means you can ball.
Yes. When you get traded for 3 first-round picks, you're doing something right. Jalen, you absolutely have to see this video of Bam Adebayo.
The brakes.
Rudy Gobert, 2-time Defensive Player of the Year. Well, he was trying his hardest on this one, but watch Bam Adebayo just put his shoulder right into Rudy and then go right over the top. That is a man move right there. What do you think about bully ball from Bam?
I love it so very much, and that shows the elevation of his game. Don't sleep on the ball handling and the skills from the top of the floor to drive left and then finish with both hands over Rudy Gobert. That is really impressive, and he deserves to be an all-star this year.
He drives left so he can use his right hand to completely body Gobert out of the way. Bam Adebayo, congratulations on your first all-star appearance. I do not think it will be your last based on what you've done this year. Jalen Rose, our current colleague and former Grantlander, Kurt Goldsberry, he's got all the numbers and he's got all the charts. And he put one out that I found fascinating. That is the shot chart of a gentleman by the name of Zion Williamson. When you look at Zion's shot chart, one thing that really stood out to me is how different it is than his Duke shot chart, where he shot more jumpers and was involved in more assists. What do you think about 114 of his 125 shots being from inside the paint?
So he's playing bully ball, and I like it so very much. And I call him a bull in a china shop. And so he's not settling. In the college game, you can play a lot of zone. You can stand in the paint the entire time. There isn't no defense of 3 seconds. And so the game, the three-point line is further. So the game is more, the floor is more spread out. And lastly, at Duke, sometimes he wasn't necessarily playing the 5. If you look at these highlights, a lot of this time, they got him basically playing the 5. And when he gets stuck, when somebody smaller than him gets stuck on him, he just punishes him. Then when somebody is bigger than him, he uses his quickness. And he got an underrated handle. So that's what I'm appreciating about him very early in his rookie campaign.
And me too. And one shout to Alvin Gentry, because when you look at all those highlights, he gets the ball around the basket. Nobody else in his uniform around him. You know what I mean? Like, they kind of clear out for him and give him space, which is definitely by design. Jalen, Manny Pacquiao is not in his prime. And Manny Pacquiao fights don't necessarily excite me anymore, but there was some news about Manny Pacquiao yesterday that I found fascinating. He signed with Paradigm Management, the same agency that represents Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor famously fought Floyd Mayweather, as did Manny Pacquiao. Jalen, would you be interested in a fight between Conor McGregor and Manny Pacquiao in a boxing match.
This is an easy lob for Floyd to throw shade. I'm about to go to his IG right now because I know he got something to say about Manny following his footsteps, potentially not only fighting Conor, but doing so signed to his management company. And you know how Floyd prides himself on being the boss of all bosses.
Well, I'm sure we'll hear that.
Billion-dollar athlete.
I'm sure we'll hear that tomorrow. Jalen Rose, you've got something important that you want to say as we finish the show.
I do have something important I want to say, and that's rest in peace to William Bill Rose. As you know, my family and friends have been dealing with a heavy heart over this recent period of time. I want to thank everybody that came out to his services, the pallbearers. Say I love you to his daughters, Chelsea, Courtney, and Natalie, to his wife, Pam, my entire family. I appreciate all of the love and support, and Bill, we will represent your legacy to the fullest.
We always say we give the people what they want, so we're not just going to give you the television show audio. We always give you podcast exclusive Too Hot for TV. And something's starting to become a reality that I can't lie, I'm a little nervous about. I'm about to suit up in a basketball uniform with my name on the back, with a team name in the front, run out the tunnel at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. And you know what? I would be nervous about it if I didn't have my brother there with me the whole time. I'm going to be a Washington general as we play against the Globetrotters. We're going to be playing the Globetrotters. Jalen's going to be the head coach of the Generals. We're going to get this win. We're going to get this win. We're going to make history. We're going to make history, Jalen.
Shout out to the Harlem Globetrotters and the Washington Generals who are big-time fans of this program, who wanted to make sure that we got involved because they know how we break down the game and love the game so very much. They gave us some select dates to participate and be a part of performing out on the floor. And when I looked down at the schedule and I saw three letters that said
M-S-G,
the first things I thought about was Q. It's going to be
Oh, I got news. I'm not sure this is going to happen, but it sure sounds like it is. Joey, Quincy, Chloe, Margot, feet on the floor. Feet on the floor.
Correct.
Feet on the floor.
That's feet exactly. Floor. And to see their father play.
Oh, yeah.
It ain't they're just watching a game. They're going to get a chance to watch you.
See, they've only seen me play basketball at my birthday party, but they're very distracted. You know what I mean? There's other things to do. There were snacks involved. And at my birthday party, I shoot a lot. I really do.
And your family does an amazing job of supporting you. I remember when you ran the marathon for JRLA.
Mm-hmm.
They were there to support you. We stopped at multiple locations. Shout to Harlem. We were there to come support you also.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. You finished.
Yeah.
And they were there to represent. Now they get a chance to see you with shorts on and socks and gym shoes and a jersey with your name, their name on the back.
Oh, yeah.
Running up and down the court playing against the Harlem Globetrotters.
There's something I want to talk to you about on Wax because you and I have different approaches when it comes to things like this. You know what I mean? It's such an honor to be invited to play for the Generals. And I'm talking to Eric, their communications director. I don't know if that's his title, whatever. Senior vice president of PR. I'm just giving titles. Sure. President of the Globetrotters. Just give him titles. Who cares? That's what people do in the corporate world. And he said, he's like, all right, you're going to play during the second quarter. In the back of my mind, I'm like, oh no. Jalen's going to try to sub me back in later in the game. Because I play by the rules. I'm just excited for the opportunity. If they said you're going to play for a minute, I'd be so excited about it. I'm like, oh no. I'm going to have to take my shoes off or something because Jay's definitely going to try to sub me in. So it was like a minute left with the Generals down by 4 to see if we can get this dub.
So when we say like industry standard, that means that we're doing things now that people are going to be doing in 5 years from now. So ESPN is going to have an amazing celebrity basketball game Friday night, 2020. How many years ago did you and I and Bill coach that game and playing that game? How many years ago?
It was New Orleans. So I want to say 2013, maybe. 13, I'm going to throw at it.
You know what I'm saying? If that ain't the wave, I don't know what is. And let me tell you what happened that game. We won. And you know what else happened? Skylar Diggins was also playing, the person that got traded for 3 first-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
And David Jacoby was sitting on the bench with me. And this, I'm bringing this up because you told me about only playing in the second quarter.
Yeah.
And for some strange reason, security made Jacoby get off the bench. I turned around, I'm like, where'd Jacoby go?
The reason wasn't strange. The reason was not strange at all. The reason was I was not an assistant coach, but you said I could be an assistant coach. You were like, just follow me. That's not strange. It's not strange. At some point, they're like, who is that dude? And why is he here? And why is he talking to the players? And I remember we went out with the Podfather. We went out with the Podfather afterwards. I'm like, Podfather, you had that game. Like, what happened? You made some bad coaching decisions. For someone that complains about NBA coaching as much as you do, you made some curious roster moves. He's like, you got to play Kevin Hart. He's like, give the people what they want. Kevin Hart got to be out there. I'm like, Kevin Hart, no. He's not going to get you that win. He's not going to get you that win.
At that time,
you got
the MVP,
my guy.
Because the MVP is a fan call-in vote, which basically you can have 0 points and win MVP.
Yo, have you seen the video online of Drake and Quavo and Justin Bieber
and
all of them at Lifetime?
So Drake, white ring, right wing, walk up Jay.
I have a lot of thoughts on that. Now, first of all, let me say this out loud. You could put me in a gym for an hour and roll video on me shooting NBA threes. I'm going to hit like 4. NBA threes are just, they're deep, man. I got to completely change my jump shot to hit an NBA three. So I do want to give a shout to them, for all of them, for hitting NBA threes. Those are tough shots. But also, like, I need to see the raw reel. You know what I mean? I need to see the full. I don't want to see the edited version that you get under a minute for Instagram. Like, I want to see what that game really looked like, because I saw some people jogging pretty slowly, some suspect defense. It seemed like it probably started really intense for the first 10 minutes, and then by hour 2, we're like, oh, these dudes are rappers. They're not athletes. They're tie-tie.
I probably would say entertainers that are hovering around 30 years old, like, the best basketball players are J. Cole and Chris Brown.
Well, Chris Brown is a legend. Chris Brown was literally on the AM1 streetball show. Like, and that was like 20 years ago. He can really play. But I'm putting Quavo up there too. Check West
Lefty.
And Quavo.
Yes.
Check West and Quavo can both of them can really ball. And I'm sure we're forgetting somebody. Whenever we do lists, we always get them wrong. But like, J. Cole,
you know,
like,
what?
He can play.
Oh, this just reminded me of something. I got to send a text to my guy Puma. Them and J. Cole just did a fly collab, and I need those kicks. He can ball, too.
I just want everyone listening to know right now Jalen Rose is on his phone sending that text. Is that just a reminder to himself to do it later? He's literally doing it.
I need those.
Right now.
Yeah,
right
I need
now
those.
He's sending the text. Right now. Quavo can play. And the thing
yeah,
is,
he can.
Like, yo, like, before I have a rec league game, I don't drink the night before. I try to take a nap. Like, and again, I'm just playing, like, and I'm 41. Like, and I'm playing against, like, sometimes we play against teams that are trash. Sometimes we play against teams that are much better than us. But the idea that Quavo can live the lifestyle he does, you know, and just the intoxicants that he's taking in, the hours that he's keeping, and then he can just, like, pick up and go play basketball and get buckets, it's really impressive. You know what? We should probably just have one day just be like, all right, we should have an NBA team live a rapper lifestyle. Oh, that was the entire era that Jalen Rose played in. Oh, my bad. Oh, my
correct.
Bad.
That already
oh, my
happened.
Bad.
The bling bling era.
Sorry.
5 chains, 2 bracelets, 2 watches, satellite earrings.
Social
all
media has done so much good for the world, but it really took away from the NBA player's lifestyle. You know? Just ask Tristan Thompson. What you do in the club doesn't always stay in the club anymore.
Correct. That's unfortunate.
Sorry, Tristan.
Ask
sorry,
Kawhi.
Tristan.
We got to get Kawhi.
Oh, yeah, and
Kawhi.
Oh, Kawhi. We didn't discuss that enough. Have we launched a proper investigation? Like, what city was he in? What club was he at? Someone knows. Someone can recognize what that booth looks like. Like, there's someone. You know what? If you've seen that booth before and you're like, I know that spot, hit me up. Send me a DM on Twitter.
Let me tell you what I'm disappointed in. First off, Miami is one of my meccas for strip clubs. I think it happened there, and that disappoints me. I might have to just call Luke Skywalker on the phone right now and have him go apprehend that gentleman who recorded that video. That's just so against Miami 305. The other thing I want to say, I saw Kawhi's video online, but I didn't see online that the club fired the DJ. Did I miss that?
That needs to be a follow-up. We need to, you know what? We need to launch an investigation. We need to get Bob Lee. Bob Lee ain't doing nothing, right? We gotta get Bob Lee out of retirement.
You got his number in your phone? He's been doing it for 50 years.
I don't think I have Bob Lee on the text. Let me look. If I had Bob Lee on the text, we would get him right now. He'd be like, you know what? It'd be like one of those cop movies where it's like the retired cop is on the beach and his old partner calls him up. And Bob Lee would, you know what? I don't have Bob Lee on the text. Nope. I don't have Bob Lee on the text.
Yeah, we need a further investigation about that. I'm really disappointed in that. I'm really disappointed in that.
So
that's probably the most disappointing thing that's happened all season.
I used to work for this amazing female executive at ESPN. I was kind of like her assistant. And this is, again, like, this is like 2000, I want to say, 2001. And at some point, we merged our contacts so I could get her contacts and she can have mine or whatever. So every once in a while, I put in Lee in my phone, and it just says, like, Jim Leland. And I'm like, yo, Jim Leland, like, the manager for the Tigers?
Yeah.
Like, every once in a while, I just want to abuse this. I just want to be like, I'm going to hit up Jim Leland and see what he's doing. Let's get Jim Leland a call right now live on the pod. Like, I got all these wild contacts in my phone because I don't think they ever got unmerged. No, they must have been unmerged a while ago.
Can I tell you something that's changed in the game? And I love Jim Leland. I met him multiple times. He walked me into the locker room. I've been in the hitting cage. I've thrown out the first pitch at Tiger games. Did you know? Here's something you can also investigate. Did you know Jim Leland would do his media scrums naked?
What a legend. That can't be true. That cannot be true. Yo, that cannot be true. That is a boss move. That's a boss move. You know? Like, that is a real boss move. Shout out to Jim Leland. That can really be disarming. Again, is it appropriate? No. Is it respectful? No. Is it allowed in 2020? No. But there can be something disarming about someone so confident. He's like, yo, there's a podium here, you know, there's a podium here, so you're not going to see everything. Oh, God.
Hey, you know, one of my favorite, manager rage videos when they get upset and they start throwing the bases or Billy Martin moments. The most underrated thing, and I want you to check this out on YouTube, and shout to Jim Leland. Again, I love him, but you can Google that story. I think it was Hal McCray. When he was in his office, tearing up the office.
Yeah, that one got a little dark.
But you know what I saw? I believe I saw. I got to use that word because I'm a professional. I believe I saw in that video.
I know what you're going to say.
I think I saw a couple of tall bottles of beverages in there.
Yeah, you did.
And it wasn't Gatorade.
I'm watching it right now. I do believe
in the
background.
And they weren't Gatorade. I think he had like a couple of vodka bottles or something in there too.
But let me say this though. Let me say this just about, first of all, that video is legendary. Seen it a million times. But one thing I want to say out loud that's always been baffling to me. You're not allowed to drink at work, right? It's just frowned upon. Unless you're like a bartender. It's just weird. I don't like to drink at lunch. Or like, it just doesn't make sense to me. I'm at work. I'm at play. But for some reason in corporate America, you can have four bottles of whiskey sitting right on your desk. And no one says a thing. You know what I mean? It's like, you're not allowed to drink it, but like, you go to an executive's office and they got like, it's like Mad Men, like Don Draper. Like, what is this? Is this a souvenir? Or is this just like for the one day you get fired? Like the actual day you get fired. That's where we're going to break that out. I just found that culture so odd that like liquor bottles are welcome in the office, but drinking is not welcome in the office. I've always thought about that.
And it's one of those things I think they ended up being gifted bottles where people like give you souvenirs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You just keep them in your office. That's what they end up being.
That's what it is. And Jalen.
I got an example for you.
No, my God.
I got an example
big
for you.
Announcement.
What's on my desk right now at work?
Oh, yeah. The big boy bottle of Budweiser. Yeah. I got that too. Yeah, I got it right there. Both Jay and I have a tall boy of Budweiser with big boy on it, just sitting right on our desk. Are we ever going to drink it? Never going to drink that, but I have to say something right now. It's very important.
Send us some more Budweiser. Appreciate the love.
There's a lot of people that work every single day behind the scenes. I'm Jalen and Jacoby, and we need to celebrate one of those people. It's Rachel's birthday tomorrow. Now, she's not going to be in because she's smart.
The 18th letter.
Here's the best thing about Rachel. She's smart. She's not coming to work on her birthday. You know what I mean? She's like, I'm taking that off. She put that in like 2 months ago. She's like, oh, by the way, on February 14th, Valentine's Day, I'm not going to be working. And she got the Valentine's Day birthday. Big shout out to Rachel.
I got an important question for Rachel. And okay. I want her to leave a voicemail when she can to answer this.
Okay.
Rachel, in your life, have you been slighted? Your birthday falls on Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah. That's a guarantee.
And Rachel, how many times the lines have gotten blurred in relationships with people where they, to me, giving somebody a birthday gift is way different than giving somebody a Valentine's Day gift. So I want to see how she ironed out that dynamic.
Absolutely.
Since
I'm also
her birthday,
curious
February
if she
14th.
Got a birthday present from one person and a Valentine present from another. We'll see.
That's a boss move.
Rachel, happy birthday. We'll be back tomorrow. What's that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done.